have to say, out of all the years of preaching, I never got as much feedback in my life as I did about the sermon last month. But sadly, it was all about yellow stickies. So I've never heard as many stories about yellow stickies in my life than I had in the last 30 days. We're going to be reading a couple of scriptures tonight, and we're going to be looking at a subject, and it's called Revive My Spirit. And I'm looking at the time here, for I preached an awful long time last month, and I'll not do it tonight again, so I won't. But we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures. One is in Psalm 51, and the other one is in 2 Chronicles. So let's read in Psalm 51, page 573. We're going to read the first 10 verses. And these verses are relevant to what I'll be sharing later on, and they're relevant to the book of Chronicles, where we'll be reading in Chronicles. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts and teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, you'll all know this verse, I'm sure, but I want to read it. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Every preacher, every person I know who preaches has a sort of a hobby horse. They have a sort of a theme that runs through their lives that they would speak a lot on, they would be passionate about, they like to talk about it, they'll talk about it every chance they're given to talk about it. And mine would be revival. I love stories on revival. I love listening to testimonies about revival. I love to hear people who would be talking about how the Spirit of God came into different towns and into different lands and into different places, and the Spirit of God began to move in people's lives and touch the hearts of God's people. And the church became revived. Revival for different people is different things. Revival, the concepts of revival may be varied concepts here in this room tonight. People have their own ideas to what revival would look like, and probably a lot of our ideas are based on books that we have read or things that we have seen. And I would be no different than anybody else in that respect, but like everything else, when it comes to how we think God may move, I believe that God may move in a totally different way than what we think he may move, because God, as a God who's always on the move, and he doesn't do things the same over and over and over again, he's not repetitive in that sense. But I believe for different ages and different peoples that God and the Holy Spirit can move in different ways, and ways that we might never expect. And we can experience a move of God's Spirit and a revival or a renewal experience within our lives that can be something that we have never experienced before, or even this world has never experienced before. And it was something that Norman said last Sunday that got me thinking about the whole revival thing again. And And they mentioned it again this morning. And I did a serious series called Revive My Spirit in 2013. And last Monday, whenever I got up in the morning, I was thinking about the sermon on Sunday, and I began to look for the series and look through my notes on the series, and that began to challenge me afresh and challenge me to ask myself the question, is there anything in my life, is there anything within me that causes the Spirit of God not to be moving? Because for what we're going to look at tonight and what we have already read tonight would indicate to me and to you, hopefully, that there's a place that we need to be in as believers, talking to the believers here, there's a place that we need to be in that can create the right environment for the Holy Spirit to move. But there's a place that we need to be with God that can create that atmosphere of praise, that atmosphere of worship, that atmosphere of prayer, and that atmosphere of repentance that will draw us closer to God, that will in some way cause God to move from that base out into an unsaved world. And whenever we begin to think about that, whenever we begin to see God move and that sort of a concept, that excites me. I do evangelism training classes, and I've been working in North Belfast for the last 4 weeks and working up around the North Belfast area, and there's been a number of people. It was really interesting, and I know these are not big crowds, but they're big crowds for that sort of class. And we started off with, there was a group of churches who decided that there was people within their churches who had a desire to do something for God. And we started these classes, and the first week there was 30, I can't just remember the numbers, but there was low 30s there, 32, 33 people. That was a really good night. God really blessed, and it was just a good night's fellowship, and it was good to get 2-3 different groups of people from different church backgrounds together in the one place where they could learn a wee bit about God together. The following week, that number went up to 47. They turned up on the second week. The third week, there was in the low 50s, came to the meeting, and on Thursday night past there were just under 60 people there. Now, here's the thing that really challenged me and blessed me and encouraged me. It reminded me again that within the body of Christ, there are groups of people, small groups of people maybe, but groups of people nonetheless, who are interested in seeing the Spirit of God move, who are interested in a revival fire beginning to burn, who are desiring that the Holy Spirit would begin to move in people's lives, and that we wouldn't just be playing at church, but we would actually be living church, that we would be doing church, but that we'd be doing what the Spirit of God leads us to do. And it excites me that right across this land, there are groups of people like that. And to get groups of people like that together to pray, to call on God, to cry on to God, I believe that would result in a move of the Spirit of God in this land. And that encourages me to see that. But there was something else happened in that area, and I'll share that in a wee minute or two. But I'm also aware that there are many believers who are unaffected by the idea of a revival. And from my perspective, I find that hard to understand. But sometimes some Christians don't just have that. You know, they're saved and they're going to heaven, but there's no life. You know, there's no passion there. There's no desire there. There's no drive there. There's no unction there. And I sense that we're living in days whenever the church, that the body of believers within the church, the broad church, will be faced with challenges that will cause us to either cow down to what is happening around us, or to stand up for what we believe in, and to stand up and say, do you know something? I'm not having this. The Lord Jesus Christ is my God, my King. It's like people, how many of you ever experienced somebody they swear and then they apologize to you? No way somebody swear and then they apologize to you. It doesn't bother me one wee bit whether they swear or not, but what interests me is that they actually apologize to you because they recognize something within you or something around you that would be different to what they would believe. And I like that. I like the idea that somebody would apologize. But if we're not a believer who has got a passion, a fire in our belly, something that excites us about God, that God's alive. This week in Dunloy, they're showing a film, God's Not Dead 2. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but God Not Dead 1 was great, and God's Not Dead 2 is supposed to be even better. But we need to believe that. We need to understand that God is not dead, that God is very much alive, God is very much moving, that lives are very much being touched, and God is doing great things. And me, for one, I would want to be part of that. I would want God, the Holy Spirit, to place something within my heart that actually causes me to want to be part of that, to need to be part of that. The word revive comes from a Latin word, two words actually. And the first word is re, R-E, which means again. R-E means again. The other word is vivo, which is actually not a supermarket. It actually means to live. So you put the two of them together, it means live again. Now, if something is to live again, then that begs the question, or the statement, that for something to live again, it has to have lived before. If you have lived before, you can live again. If something has never lived before, it can't actually live again. And that draws us back to something that Norman again said last week, that revival is not about unsaved people. It is about the believer. It's about you and I who are born again of the Spirit of God. You know, Charles Finney, a great revivalist, said this here, and this is really what I want to concentrate on tonight. Charles Finney said, revival is a new beginning of obedience to God. Revival is a new beginning of obedience to God. Now, that statement in itself may be a far cry away from what you imagine revival to be, because revival for some people is about manifestations of the things of the Spirit. But that's not what revival is about. Those are maybe sidelines and different activities that can happen as a result of the move of the Spirit of God. But revival starts in the heart of the believer. It starts with obedience to the heart of the believer, and that in many ways cuts through some things that we might find difficult to put into place, and things that we might find difficult to believe. That, as a result, brings us to a place where we actually have to realize that if we truly want to see a move of the Spirit of God, that it is going to cost. It will not come free. It is going to cost. It will bring us to a place where there will be a deep cutting in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, a place of challenge, and a place, dare I say it, of repentance. And those are things that we forget about whenever it comes to the movement of the Spirit of God, because we like all the good stuff, but we don't like this side of it. And it is that side of it that will cause, I believe with all my heart, a move of God's Spirit, because it is that side of it that has always caused God's Spirit to move. And here's a really wee up-to-date testimony for you of something that happened no later than Thursday night. In the middle of the evangelism classes, we concentrated very much on the heart of the person, the heart of the Christian, the desire for a believer to tell somebody about Jesus. Can't come from a book. It can't come, you know, there's some great evangelism courses you can do, but you can do all the courses in the world and you can have all the certificates in the world, but if you don't actually go out and do it, they're not worth the paper they're written on. It's not about that. It's about the heart of the person who wants to reach people for Christ. But it comes at a cost. And on Friday morning, I spent some time on Friday morning talking to a couple of people whom God had spoken to during the last 4 weeks that I had no idea was going on. The conversation from both of them was basically the same, and neither of them knew that the other was talking to me. But this was the gist of the story. A number of years ago, there was a split in the church up in North Belfast. Some people left the church, and there was bad feeling as a result of the split in the church. Some of these people haven't, some of these Christians haven't spoken to other for years since the church split. They don't communicate with each other. They meet other in the street and they don't say hello. But whenever these courses started, some of them from the two camps or three camps came to the course. I had no idea this was going on, but the Spirit of God was starting to move. And God was speaking to one person about the other person. And God was saying, you know, you're here wanting to do something for me, but your brother is sitting over there and you two don't speak. You two don't fellowship together. You're praying for a move of the Spirit of God. You want God to move. You want a revival in this land. He wants a revival in this land. She wants a revival in this land. But you don't speak to each other. You don't communicate. And over the period of that 4 weeks, God, there was a rumbling up in heaven and God was starting to move. And God was breaking down walls. And God was tearing down barriers. And by Thursday night, Friday morning, these people had got together and met and prayed for each other and wept together and asked each other to forgive each other. And I believe, I'm silly enough to believe, that that's the beginning of a move of the Spirit of God in that area. Because that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible tells us we need to do. We need to love one another. We need to learn to love one another. We need to forgive one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to help one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to build one another up. You know something? I could tear you down. You could tear me down. It is so easy to tear another believer down. But you can't get anywhere. We need to learn to build each other up. We need to learn to encourage each other. We need to go to Brian there and say, Brian, I know, I was going to say you can't sing, but I heard you sing, friend. You're a powerful singer. You're a really good voice. We're picking somebody else. Heather can't sing. No. So we're going to have a conversation about that, aren't we? But you were there. And you were worshiping the Lord. It doesn't matter where you can sing or not. And that's the point. You don't tell her, oh, I was sitting beside her this morning, and she's a really woeful singer. You know, you tell her, it's great to see you here. It's great that you were at church this morning. It's great that you were praising God this morning. Your voice was awful, but you were praising God. You were worshiping God. We encourage people, and we lift people up, and we're there for people to help people along. Because revival is about a heck of a lot more than some of the wonderful stories that we read about in books. It's about the challenges, the deep-seated challenge and the deep-seated conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives and breaks us and melts us and molds us and forms us and makes us into that man or that woman of God who can actually be used of God. And the key to this is found in 2 Chronicles. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. God is calling on his people. He is not calling on the heathen. He is calling on his people, people who are saved by that amazing grace, who know him, who are redeemed by his blood, believers, children of the living God. You know, some, we're not perfect. You and I in this place tonight are not perfect. But we should never let our imperfections hold us back from doing what God wants us to do. You should never allow your imperfections to get in the way of the moving of the Spirit of God in your life, because that's what the devil wants. The devil will tell you things like, oh, look at you. How can you pray for revival? How can you go and talk to people? How can you minister into people's lives because of the life you live, because of the things you have done? Don't allow those imperfections. Don't allow your past to determine who you will be in the future, because you know something. I'll tell you why. Here's your authority tonight. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whenever you or I feel God, what do? We go back to Jesus. We go back to the cross, and we ask God to forgive us. We repent of what we have done. We ask God to forgive us, and we don't do it anymore. That's your authority tonight. Whenever we stand in that authority, we will be able to see the Spirit of God move. Let's stand in that and shout it from the rooftops that there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Whenever the devil comes to tell you, you're no good, you say that to him. You tell him that I am a child of the living God. I will do what God calls me to do. I will minister where God calls me to minister. I will go through every door that God allows me to go through, because I'm a child of the living God. He's my God tonight. And in Him, I have life, I have authority, I have power, I'm anointed by the power of the living God. You go where God calls you to go. You do where God calls you, what God calls you to do. You take hold of the Word of God, and you stand against every lie and every form of deception that the devil might throw at you, because we're the children of God. You know, this whole idea of a move of the Spirit of God, I have friends who don't really believe in it either. Like, I'm not just getting at people in here. I have friends who have told me, like, Wallace, your head's not right if you believe God's going to move. You talk about your revival. You've been talking about revival for 40 years. Many of you people in here were saved in the 80s. He's in here saved in the 80s. Let me see your hands. Those are lovely hands. I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a real move of the Spirit of God in the 80s amongst young people. Do you remember this? There were coffee bars all over the country, and there was people coming to know Christ in all these coffee bars. I'll tell you a wee story for half time. Right, Brian? Yeah. Brian was able to tell me how many minutes I spoke exactly last month. Tell you about this coffee bar. It was a place called The Ark, and it was in Desert Martin. And it was, anybody's ever in it? Yeah. It was above a pigsty, all right? There was a pigsty, it was on a farmyard. There was a long pigsty up in The Ark. There was this empty room. Now, any health and safety freaks in here, close your ears at this point, right? In the room was shaped like a Nissen hut. And from one side of the Nissen hut, right up over the roof to the other side of the Nissen hut, and it must have been as long, the hole must have been as long as this here. They had, the black plastic stuff they roll bales in nowadays? It was lined with that, right the whole way down. There was a paraffin big jet heater at one end and a big jet paraffin heater at the other end. There was a set of stairs that were that width, went nearly vertical. If you've been on it, you'll remember that. They were nearly vertical up into it. Every year, for 4 or 5 years, I'd had a mission in that place, every year. Spirit of God moved in it. Remember one night making an appeal, and being a pigsty, there was obviously rodents about it. And I was making an appeal, and I'd asked the people to close their eyes and pray, and I saw this mouse walking up the side of the sort of brick, wee flat brick wall before the plastic started. And there was a row of girls, and it was just coming up next to a row of girls. Not that men are not frightened of mice, but this just happened to be girls. And that was the longest closing prayer ever I prayed until the mouse disappeared down the side of the wall. But there were dozens and dozens and dozens of young people saved in that dirty, stinking, rotten building. Because at that time, there was a move of the Spirit of God. There were thousands of young people saved across this land in the early 80s. Thousands of them, because there was a move of the Spirit of God. It wasn't a revival, as we would say a revival was, but it was certainly a move of the Spirit of God. And that excited me. I was saved during that time. That excited me then. It excites me now at the thought that God could still do that. And I have said this in here before, and I make no apology for saying it again. Every time I go into a meeting, every time I go to hear the Word of God, I go in with an expectant heart because I expect to hear from God. I go in with an expectant spirit because I expect to see God move in somebody's life. And I go in with this thought, Lord, what if this is the meeting that the Holy Spirit is going to break through in and we are going to see a revival begin? Now, it might sound daft to some of you, but I believe that some night we'll be sitting, some meeting, and there'll be this different sense and different atmosphere, and there'll be an expectancy rise up within the people of God, and there'll be a bursting through of the power of God. And there'll be repentance, and there'll be weeping, and there'll be crying unto God, and it'll not be the unsaved. It'll be the church. It'll be the body of Christ. And then the strangest thing happens after that. Whenever that happens to the body of Christ, whenever that happens to the church, people start getting saved all over the place because the church has come right. Christians are starting to talk to each other again. Christians are starting to speak to each other. You know, some, whenever I mentioned that earlier on, I could see some of you sitting and I knew you were thinking maybe about somebody. The Spirit of God asked me to go and apologize to somebody one day. One day, that's a lie. I'm telling you a lie. Over a period of time, on a number of occasions, the Spirit of God asked me to go and apologize to somebody. And I struggled with it. Right? I struggled because I didn't think I needed to do it. Because you know how we all like to hang on to that wee bit, you know. They were as wrong as I was. Or they were maybe wrong and I was right. You know how we like to hang on to that. And I fought with the Holy Spirit and the conviction, and one day I decided I'm going to do it. And I went into where this person works, asked to see them. I went up to the person. He looked at me strange, as if, what are you doing here? Because him and I hadn't spoken. And I put my hand out and I said, brother, I mentioned his name, I'm here to apologize to you. The Holy Spirit has convicted me and I want to apologize to you. And he wouldn't take my hand. And I didn't know what to do. So I said it again. Brother, I'm here to apologize to you. And he went into a rant, is the only way I could describe it, of what he perceived I had done to him. And after he finished, I says, brother, I want to apologize to you. And he still wouldn't do it. And I says, that's all I can do. And I turned and I left. And I was walking down the street. And I was in a worse state then than I was before I went in, because I thought, He needs a good slap in the head. That's what he needs. Never made an apology. But you can't really do that because you're a Christian and you know you can't really do that. But I was annoyed at myself. I was annoyed I was angry at myself that I had gone and done this and there was no response. And then I could sense God speaking to me. And God was saying, but there is a response. You did what I asked you to do. It was irrelevant whether the other person responded in kind or not. It really was and is irrelevant. Because God wasn't speaking to them. God was speaking to me. And immediately, I get a freedom. It never bothered me again. It never crossed my mind again. Other than I learned a lesson. I learned the lesson was, whenever God speaks to you to do something, go and do it. It doesn't work out the way you plan for it to work out. Don't worry about it. Be obedient to God, because the word that we read tonight talks about being obedient to God. You and I have a great God. We have a God who, we sung Amazing Grace, and we sung the version that My Chains Are Gone. And if we truly believed that our chains were gone, and if we truly believed that we had been set free, then we need to live like we believe it. We need to understand what the Word of God teaches about the authority that we have in Christ. We need to understand what the Word of God teaches about the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and how God can set us free and God can ignite a flame and a fire within us. And if you remember nothing else from this wee message tonight, remember this, that a fire can only be revived if it had already been a fire. You throw coal on a hearth and don't light it, I could sit there for 30 years, it'll never change. I walked into the house early hours Saturday morning, and the fire was dead, as I thought, and it was cold, and I threw a couple of wee sticks onto it, and I thought, I'll be in bed before these flame up, but within moments, there was a flicker. And then you give it a wee poke. Do you ever notice when you poke a dead fire, there's always a flame? That's what we need sometimes, a wee poke. Sometimes the church needs a wee poke. See, if we're in America, I would say after me, a wee poke, but we'll not do that. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that push, that drive, that wee word that says, God is real. God loves you. God wants us to be right with Him, and He wants us to be right with each other. And He wants it because He wants to see a non-saved world come to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, it's so easy for us to get caught up in our own wee world whenever it comes to a relationship with You. But Lord, You have never meant for us to be an isolated people. You have meant for us to be a people who interact and share and fellowship and encourage and build up other people. And Lord, the enemy sometimes comes in there and causes division within the body of Christ. And as a result of that division, Lord, we forget to pray for a move of Your Spirit, or we don't really want a move of Your Spirit because it will cause us to maybe get out of our wee box or have to do something that will be something we don't want to do. But yet, Lord, I know tonight that within this land and within this fellowship, there are people who have a burning passion within their soul to see a move of the Spirit of God. And Lord, we are looking for you to fulfill that desire within our hearts. Lord, we're not looking for fleshy things. We're not looking for manifestations of the flesh. We're looking for a manifestation of the living God. Our desire tonight, Lord, is that the Spirit of God will be let loose, not only in this land, but upon each of us as individuals, that you would revive our spirit. You would revive my spirit, Lord. That we would look to you. That we would focus on you. We would concentrate on you. We would draw near to you. Lord, we tell you tonight that we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation. We thank you for the day-by-day fellowship that we can have with the living God. And I just ask you, Lord, that you will give us that wee prod, that you will help us to step into a place where we call in your name day and daily, a place of repentance, Father God, a place where we get real with you, so that we can see you move in our lives and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.